Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio listeners out there, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm hoping everyone has had a great week. I sure have. It's been slow, but I can say this, it has been fun. Okay, let's get started, because like I said, from time to time, I will have surprise shows, and this is one of them. Tonight, we want to talk about I'm going to try to talk about two different subjects, but at the same time, it might be three. Depends on how everything works out. First of all, some alarming news that kind of caught me off guard a little bit that we'll be talking about. And it's one subject. It's going to be the median wealth of our single black females or single black women. We'll be talking about that, but the first thing I want to talk about is Walmart. And I know you guys have heard a lot about Walmart and their issues with race. Now, you know, there has been a long battle with Walmart and minorities. They've been taken to court. They've won lawsuits. And it's like one thing after another with Walmart when it comes to minorities, not only just African-Americans, with others. I know you guys heard on, I think it was yesterday, let's see, what was this article? Let's see. This article read, it happened, I think, in New Jersey. Attention Walmart, there are at least two devoted customers who won't set foot in your store in Washington Township, which is Gloucester County, and this is in New Jersey. Again, to the person who made the racial comments over a public address system is caught, according to the Philadelphia Daily News. I can't go back in there, said Patricia Covington of nearby Williamstown. I went to Target instead. I can't bring myself to go back in there. Covington and her best friend, Sheila Ellington, were standing in the checkout line of the store Sunday night when they heard the public address system come on. First came the customary attention Walmart customers, the words coming in clear, official-sounding, male voice covered and said, "All blacks need to leave the store." A hush went over the store immediately, covered and said, as customers and employees tried to register what they had just heard. There's something. Covington thought it might have been some kind of security issue or terrorism situation, but eventually she and Ellington realized that the racism had reared its ugly head in the suburban South Jersey Strip Mall, in 2010. You don't know whether you're in danger or whether you actually heard what you thought you heard, she said. Shock quickly turned into anger, and about a dozen customers went to the customer service to get some answers. The manager seemed confused as well, Covington said. Washington Township police were called, and the store's manager eventually made an apology over the PA system. Covington said that a store employee told her that there had been a similar breach of the PA system earlier in the day. Ellington, an attorney and member of the Gloucester County Minority Coalition, said that the incident was a clear bias crime. This voice was controlled and confident, she said. It didn't appear to be a prank. Ellington said that she will not shop at the store until Walmart changes its PA system and a suspect, whether it's an employee or customer, is caught. They tout
themselves as a company of diversity and ethics, Ellington said. I hope they're taking the right avenues to address this. Walmart spokesman Ashley Hardy said that the company was appalled by the incident. We are currently reviewing our systems to prevent this from happening in the future, she said. The Gloucester County Prosecutor's Office confirmed that the incident is being investigated as a possible bias intimidation crime. Spokesman Bernie Weinfeld said that the store's PA system could be accessed through 25 phones, but not all of them were in view of security cameras. Weinfeld said that his office victim witness unit contacted Walmart to offer counseling services for anyone affected by the announcement. There were several responses, he said. Covington said that she and Ellington, both 49, are grateful that their children were home at the time, but the remarks will resonate with them for some time. I think of this every time I drive by there, Covington said. I get a sick feeling in my stomach. Okay. Isn't that something? Now, I'm going to tell you this, you guys. My thing is, getting a sick feeling, I understand that, but maybe because it wasn't me and that the public heard it, it wasn't something that was said to you one-on-one, but the public heard it, so I guess it would affect you in a different way than it would if somebody said it to you one-on-one. My problem with the whole thing is, I don't think I would have cared as much, but I'm not in those people's shoes. So being down here in the South, I guess I wouldn't be too surprised. And I'm not saying that this person is not supposed to be shocked, but come on. Guys, let's just put a reality check on all of this. We've never been liked here. So why should this be a big change in how people feel about us? There was another incident, and I'm not going to read it. There was another incident happened, as a matter of fact, here in Louisiana. I don't know what city and state it was, but it was an incident with Barbie dolls. Barbie, they had some dolls on sale, and all the white dolls, well, I think it was 538, and the black dolls, they were all Barbies, was 338, if I'm not mistaken. And, again, Walmart is involved. So it's like Walmart has a history of how they really feel about us. I mean, it's there. Oh, they give us jobs. But that doesn't cover up the fact that there is a lot of underlying racism. Not only in Walmart, you got a lot of companies that hire us. Okay? They hire us to work for them and don't really like us because of a lot of it is because of their ignorance. And I feel sorry for people who feel that we're not deserving to be here. I really feel sorry for people who feel that way. Now, let's see if this trend will continue. Let's see if every opportunity someone has to be racial, will they be? I deal in a type of atmosphere where it's both ways. It's underlying and then it is blatant, you know. And I'm from New York. And I'm not saying that there's not racism up there, because the further you go up, the more racist it is. But I've come to the point in my life where people are going to be ignorant no matter what you say to them. And sometimes I could be racist on some situations or the way that I see things. It's not inbred in me to be racist. It's not. Sometimes race remarks come out of my mouth, and I'm not going to just sit here and say that they don't. Racism remarks do come out. but that's because I'm dealing with it on a daily basis. That's not an excuse, but that's how I look at it. Walmart being the way it is and it being the monopoly, moving and destroying actually some people's lives when they move into their cities, moving jobs because everybody can't be hired at Walmart. You know, mom and pop stores are closing because they can't afford to work anywhere else, you know, or they Walmart has been able to do that for a long time, come in and take over. So that could have been somebody who was a disgruntled, not only a customer, but a disgruntled employee. You never know. Since they claim, quote, unquote, as you heard in the article, that the telephones and the telephones are not always in the view of the cameras, which I think is very weird. Because, you know, somebody, not just anybody, should be able to come into your stores and pick up your phones unless they are an employee. So I don't know where that came from or why they, you know, that was said. Obviously, somebody thought that that needed to be said. But the history with racism with Walmart, if I'm not mistaken, goes all the way back to 2005. Okay. Which does not whatsoever surprise me that people feel that way about us. But like I said, we're not going anywhere. We haven't gone anywhere yet. We're not planning on going anywhere. So, like I said, I wasn't born in Africa. I was born here in America. So I can't go back to somewhere where I'm not familiar with or don't know anything about. That would be wrong for me. Let's see. Sorry. Wake up, Walmart. Shop at the Legislature at Walmart. Okay, in 2005, I think it started. Let's see. It says this happened, Pioneer Press, Minnesota, must be. This happened June 17, 2005. Gail Bryan expected to be relaxing inside her new home by midnight. Instead, sobbing with humiliation and rage, she sat outside of Walmart in Eagan. As police and onlookers lingered, Bryant made up her mind that nothing like this would happen again. Some employees had accused the Ramsey County social worker of using a bad check to buy $92.69 worth of bottled water and household goods. They called police, who waited for her to leave the store and then stopped her for questioning. Ultimately, Walmart agreed her check was good and offered $1,000 for her trouble, blaming the incident on an over alertness for fraud, but admitting that the employees hadn't followed procedure, policy. Bryant says it was triggered by something else. She's black. It's what you feel. It's an internal gut feeling. Race is the last card I pull, she said. But I know if I went in there and had been white, this never would have happened. In fact, it's happened before, she said. A bakery store clerk in McAdoo, Minnesota, 7 years ago, refused to put change directly into Brian's hand. And many times she has been stung at the indignity of being trailed by salespeople in department stores as she shopped. Walmart's refusal to accept her check April 3rd was the last straw. It was the worst experience of my life, she said. I'm out there alone in the middle of the night, essentially being flogged in front of my community. Bryant, 40, spurned the company's offer and filed complaints with both the Minnesota Department of Human Rights and St. Paul branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Walmart and the Eagan Police Department say the race played no role in the incident that the company had comprehensively anti-discrimination policies in effect. We have apologized. We are actually trying to continue to make contact with her and make the situation right, corporate spokesman Sarah Clark said. We do not feel that this has been handled properly. The company remains in conversation with Brian over resolving the dispute. A corporate spokesman with Walmart Stores Incorporated in Bentonville, Arkansas, said it investigated circumstances once but is looking into it again. The company's Office of Diversity Director called Brian, so did other representatives and a claims investigator, all apologized. An Egan store employee had since been severely disciplined, Clark said. Brian is pushing the retailer for a larger monetary settlement and wants the company to retrain employees on diversity. She is holding out the possibility of filing a lawsuit or a nationwide appeal to the NAACP offices. We want Walmart to handle this, to take care of this. They have assured us that they are taking this matter seriously, NAACP St. Paul branch, President Nathaniel Kalik said. We are encouraging both parties to get together to try to resolve the issue. If that doesn't happen, we will notify our regional and national office. They will then notify branches throughout the country to see if there have been other similar complaints against Walmart dealing with discriminatory complaints and policies, he said. A long night, Brian had gone to Walmart to buy an ottoman and bathroom accessories for her townhouse in Egan, the first home she had ever purchased. She was excited about her move to the suburbs and one of the many St. Paul area locales she had lived in since she moved from the Detroit area of Minnesota in 1996. She attended graduate school at Minnesota State University at Mankato and has worked in St. Paul for 5 years as a social worker for developmentally disabled children. In Mankato, she spoke out in the Free Press newspaper about the racism and isolation she felt living in such a predominantly white community and started a diversity consulting firm, Creating a Better World. Mondays are her days off, so she made an evening out of picking out new sewing machines that Sunday. She went first to Target but couldn't find quite what she was looking for, so she headed to Walmart. She brought her checks, pre-printed starter checks, that her bank Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union gave her after it misprinted her last batch of checks. Those checks were missing the customary security lock symbol on the front and a watermark on the back. Bryant hadn't had any trouble with them before. In fact, she wrote a check for $196.97 at Walmart in Evergrove Heights 2 weeks earlier. The cashier didn't even ask her for her driver's license for verification. On April 3rd, although Bryant's checks were approved at the register by the scan service, which verifies the checking account, the cashier called over the employees and asked to see her driver's license. She said the employees, two cashiers, and the store assistant manager then told her she couldn't authorize her check and left her waiting in the store for about 30 minutes while they took her check and went into the back office. She said no one asked her to use a different form of payment or told her that they did not believe that her checks were real. The assistant store manager finally told her that though he couldn't get authorization for her purchase, he would take her check as payment, Brian said. It was a setup, she said, of what happened to her after she left the store. Three Egan police officers were waiting in the parking lot to arrest her on suspicions of theft and using a counterfeit check. Allowing someone to leave a store is a general operation procedure for the theft and shoplifting. If employees think there is fraud, they can call us immediately, Police Lieutenant Jeff Johnson said. The employees followed Brian out to the parking lot, and a police audio recording of the incident reveals assistant manager Axel Rebel insisting that her checks were phony. He is watching all of this. He's accusing me of making those checks as this is going on. People in the store and employees start to come out. Everyone knew what was going on except me, Brian said. After Brian's criminal history check came up empty, and she talked with the officers, they decided not to arrest her and let her go home. She returned the merchandise first. Rebel laughed at me when I asked for a receipt. He said I didn't need one because he knew it wasn't a real account. She said Rebel did not return phone calls seeking comment. So, as you can see, this was back in 2005. So just imagine how many people, you know, I guess the bigger some companies get, the more ignorant the people that they hire in place, you know. All there, and see, this is what people don't understand about Walmart. Walmart is not, and I'm not saying that they don't care about the people and they're not there, but Walmart is a business. It's not your neighborhood store. It is a business. It's a conglomerate business. Okay? They're all in China. So you're just, I'm not saying that you're not worth anything. Your money is not worth anything, but they're not looking at it. They can come up with all these excuses of why things are like this and we apologize, but you go somewhere else and the same thing happens to you. That's what just gets me, because this is not in one spot. It's all over the place. I think of the situation with Denny's. Now, Denny's for a long time had a problem with African Americans, minorities. They had a big problem with it, and it took, when it happened in one restaurant, it kept going on. So this is a widespread situation that's going on with these companies, these retailers, okay? And I think about Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel has a problem with African-Americans and gays. It's widespread. It didn't just happen here. It happened in other places. So, I mean, and the reason why I'm trying to get you guys to understand, where Walmart builds its company, its stores, they really don't have jurisdiction over who they hire when it comes to a person's personal belief. Now, the point is, your personal beliefs really don't belong in the workplace, okay? If you walk in the store, you're a customer to me. I don't care if you don't like me. I know you throw my money in my hands. I've had that happen. Instead of actually giving me my money, you throw it in my hand so that you won't touch my hand. I've been through that. I live here in Louisiana, and I know people are like, why do you keep saying that about Louisiana? Because it's true. I live it every day. I live the looks. I live the remarks. I live the hidden racism. I live the whispering in the corners. I live that every day. So I can say that about these stores and these retailers because it's true. I've been followed around the store. And me, I'll tell them, why are you following me? There's no need for you to follow me. I have money in my purse. I can buy anything in here I want. And then what we do is, not only do we teach other races to be that way toward us too, to be ignorant and mean and, oh, they're going to steal something. They all got this thing that all African-American people are dirty, liars, steal, cheat, do whatever they got to do to make it. No. You know, no, we're not all like that. But they are, that's been put in their mindset that we are. And that's the sad part of how people see us. And it bothers me, but it don't, because you can't change their mind. Ignorance is ignorance. You're not going to change their mind, because they're going to go to their grave believing the way that they believe, and they really are. So I say this, for all of you who don't like us, I don't apologize for being black. I love the idea that I'm black. I don't apologize for my intelligence. I don't apologize for my knowledge. I'm sorry. Let me not say that. That's something you have to work out with yourself. You have a problem with ignorance. That's your problem. I can't help you with it. You have to learn on your own. And then you turn around and you teach your children to be just as ignorant as you. That's something we have to look at. Okay. I'm going to close right there on that conversation about Walmart and racism, and I'm going to take a break. I'm going to play you some music, And I want you guys to enjoy. And then we will move on to the next step. That was a little Etta James there, Fool That I Am. Just a minute here. Okay. Now, our next subject we're going to talk about is how we as African American women are viewed. Or how much our net worth is. That's what I want to talk about. Okay. Thursday, March the 11th, 2010, it says that median net worth of single black women in the prime working years, $5. In the case you haven't somehow... Excuse me, in case you somehow harbored the notion that the other half doesn't live differently than the rest of us, an eye-opening report released by the Insight Center for Community Economic Development, Lifting as We Climb, analyzes a topic that too often gets shrift, the net worth or wealth of the lower economic strata. The media, to the extent it has taken up the issue of income inequality, has focused on the rising concentration of income and assets at the very top, and less attention has gone to the obverse side of his coin. I'm sorry, I'm talking too fast and I'm fumbling over my tongue. The relative decline of the standing of lower ranks. This study drew on the 2007 survey of consumer finances, which is conducted one in every 3 years and is considered one of the most reliable sources of information on wealth disparities. The analysis uses the same definition of net worth as the Federal Reserve does. The report notes, while in 2007, data is the most recent release of the SCF to date, it is important to take into consideration that most of the data were collected prior to the economic downturn and therefore present a more favorable portrait of levels of wealth than it's likely to be the case currently. Nonetheless, the overall patterns depicted with respect to wealth of the white versus the non-whites are likely to hold. As anything, the portrait of wealth holdings for people of color is likely to be less favorable today than it was in 2007, since people of color hold greater amounts of their assets in home ownership, and communities of color have been hardest hit by the foreclosure debacle. Therefore, the data provides a conservative estimate of the current wealth holdings for women of color. Sorry. Now, here is the punchline. However, while white women in the prime working years of ages 36 to 49 have a median wealth of $42,600, still, only 60% of their white male counterparts, the median wealth for women of color is only $5. Excuse me. Once they get past their childbearing, rearing years, single black women do better. Their net worth rises to nearly $60,000 for the 50 to 65 cohorts. But single white women show a greater increase in net worth across the two age groups of nearly $70,000. One of the few papers to pick up this story, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hat tip reader John D. adds some more disheartening factoids. Black women in general were more likely to have participated in the subprime loan crisis, with upper-income black women being 5 times more likely to have received a high-cost mortgage than the upper-income white men. The popular image is they spend too much, which is the reason they are running up credit cards and consumer debt, but the cost of living hasn't risen faster than income, and they need to go into debt for basically daily necessities, Ms. Liu said. It's compounded because unemployment is twice as high in the black community than it is in the white community. Huffington Post has a short write-up by a project manager at the Insight Center, but that is the sort of exception that serves to prove the rule, that lack of media interest in the fate of the poor and near poor. On a separate but relating sighting, the Big Picture Post, an academic of laziness, takes issue with the ideal that extending unemployment insurance creates a disincentive to find work, when the fact that there are more than 5 job seekers for every opening would seem to be more significant impediment. The comment stream at points veers into vitriol. I don't know what that means. Okay. I like that, but it was another one too. Now, I don't know. I felt disheartened by this. I really did. But to be honest with you, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised simply because the ideal that this has happened with us, and I'm going to say this, and please, African-American sisters, because that's what you guys are, my sisters, please don't mistake what I'm saying, and I'm not looking at it from a one-sided situation. It said single black women. It didn't say women who were at a certain, that you educated and all that. It said single black women. It's, and this is from the ages of 36 to 49, you know. And then my thing is, it's good for us to know this, and there was a reason why it was put out. But yet and still, we already feel like we're not worth much as it is. Because if we worked much, if we really did, if we were really worth anything to ourselves, we wouldn't put ourselves in the positions that we do. Now, let me say this. Young girls or young women, if you're not married, if you don't have an income coming in, quit having all of these children. Okay, I'm just going to say it like it is. This is my show, and I can say it like it is. Quit having all these children. Please quit having all these children that you can't afford to take care of. Please. You guys are not only being selfish when it comes to bringing more children in the world, you're being very, very selfish and inconsiderate to the next child. You already have a house full of kids. And before you know it, you're pregnant again. And then you're getting pregnant for these no-good, crappy men. I'm serious. The whole, I don't know. I get frustrated because I want to tell you guys, there's so much more out there for you. I really don't care about the $5. I really don't, to be honest with you, because I know I'm able to maintain my household. When I was single, I was able to maintain my household. What they thought I was worth, it didn't matter. As long as I was able to feed my child and keep a roof over his head and do my struggle to make sure everything was taken care of, I don't care about that. My thing is, now that you hear this most shocking news, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to have the babies? Are you going to go back to school? Even though I know everything is so, right now, is so negative, so downtrodden, so there's so much gray, so, you know, just a little bit of blue would help out. You know, just a little bit of sunshine out of those clouds. Unemployment, you know, you're not being able to do this, you're not being able to do that. Women, I tell all women, and if you go on my website, I think the article was put on my website, too, at SamanthaPlace.net. I say this, and this is just my word, and this is how I see it. Because you're not making the money that you want to make, find something else to do. I know everybody's not able to go to school and get a college degree, because you got people with college degree. You have people with college degrees. You'd be surprised working at places that, man, you know, I spent all that money on a degree, still got all these loans to pay, and I don't have anywhere decent to actually work. I got to work here to subsidize all the other stuff, to even pay my bills, to keep a roof over my head. We need to think before we have children. It goes all the way back to there. It goes back to the choice of lifestyle that you choose to live. It goes back to the ideal of the people that you allow in your lifetime. I mean, in your life. It goes back to your children. I can talk until I'm blue in the face and I'm dark-skinned. So I guess that really doesn't matter. We have to have a better, hold ourselves to a better standard than we do as women. We don't take care of ourselves on the outside. We don't take care of ourselves in the inside. And we rip and run. We do all the stuff that we shouldn't be doing. And we get ourselves caught up with stuff we shouldn't get caught up with. and we're trying to survive. All we're trying to do is survive. But you guys, there's so much more ways that you can survive. You know, I really encourage any woman to be an entrepreneur. I really encourage any woman to take a couple of dollars. And I said this long time ago, take a couple of dollars and sit them to the side. I know every penny counts when you're not working. I know every penny counts. But I think like this, because when we get jobs, we're not educated enough. Our education level is not high enough for us to get a job where we can get health insurance. That's been proven already. So we take what we can take. We do all these serving jobs, housemaids, house cleaners, hotel housemaids and all that. No, hotel maids, I'm sorry. You know, we take all these low-grade jobs, and then we don't take time out to go back to school. There are so many different opportunities. There are so many different organizations out there that will help you go back to school and get your education and better yourself, regardless of the idea that, oh, I'm not going to have that dream job. But guess what? You got your education. Even though we know you can't pass that along to your kids, you can't feed your kids with a certificate or a degree, but at least you got something that makes you feel good about yourself. Then with that, you use that to the best of your knowledge. I know there are organizations that do resumes or sit down and have classes with you to teach you how to do a resume. I know it. I've done it. So I know they're out there. You guys have to get off your butts, and I'm telling this to any woman, not just only African-American women, any woman who's sitting up on welfare, sitting up waiting for a man to come home with $2 in his pocket. Get up off your butt and take care of your family on your own. Get rid of all that drama in your life and take care of your kids. They are looking at you. You are who they're looking up to. And if you're not thinking much of yourself, guess what? Your children are not thinking much of yourself. There is so much out there, so many different opportunities out there for you guys to get better in your lives. It is up to you to take a stand and do your thing. Don't wait on anybody else to do it, because I'm telling you right now, you're in for a rude awakening. Life is too short, and we need to move on. We need to make stuff happen that needs to happen for us. And we can't do that if we're sitting up on our butts and not taking care of our family. We have to find a way, and it's up to us. I feel like this, and like I said, it's just me. But I look at my situation, and everybody is not going to be as fortunate and have not been as fortunate as me in order to make sure that we have done everything we can possibly do to continue to allow these knuckleheads to come in our lives and to change everything about what we have to do with our life when it comes to our children. Our children are priority, and we need to make sure we're doing just that. We need to make sure that we are taking care of them first and quit laying up with these men who are not about nothing. If he is that grungy and nasty and disrespectful to lay up with you without using any type of protection, then you don't need to be with him. And you need to understand that you shouldn't be doing the same thing. You guys have to take control of your bodies, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, and take care of your children. I really, truly believe that. It is up to you guys to do that. It's nobody else's. You need to make it happen. Don't depend on no man, no dog, no cat, no nothing to make things happen for you. You need to step up, step out on faith, and make it happen for you guys. I know that none of you guys are worth $5. I don't care what statistics say, and it's about the income, you guys. It's not what you're worth. It's the income, your net worth, not you yourself as a person. You're valued higher, and you should be valued yourself higher than $5. But I tell you guys, take advantage of all the opportunities that are out there. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to give you guys another song to listen to while I take care of some sponsorships, okay? Right, you guys, I'm going to close my show early tonight due to the fact that I'm in the process of working on some other projects, but I would like to say to you guys, I thank you for listening, and you know you can hit me up on sensible64@yahoo.com or arzandacherry@yahoo. Also check out my website, samanthaplace.net. Read the articles, add, comment, let me know what you think about it. Also, you can catch me on YouTube at CMBS44, and that's on YouTube. You can also catch me here at Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to sound off. You guys have a great night, and again, like I said, you guys can contact me, let me know what you think, and from here on out, we're going to play by ear with upcoming topics. Thank you again. I hope you enjoyed the show. We will be reiterating on what we talked about this week. I'll see you guys next Thursday, 8 p.m., same time, same bat place. Good night.